Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We have our own set of contemporary problems domestically and internationally here in 2019 that we got to pay attention to. Colonel Cedric Layton is former Joint Chiefs of Staff Deputy Director, former Air Force Intelligence Officer, and now the President of Cedric Layton Associates. He joins us to talk about this news that has come out. So did we, the United States, shoot down an Iranian drone? The Iranians are saying this morning, oh, no, you didn't do it. I don't believe anything that comes out of their mouth.
Well, John, it's one of those things where the Iranians are often going to say something that isn't true to try to mollify their, you know, their political base. In essence, they'll try to do things that we really, you know, don't approve of. And of course, when it comes to things that are detrimental to their forces, you can be sure that they won't always tell the truth. So I'm pretty sure we did this. You know, based on all the reporting that I've seen, it's pretty clear that the Iranians did lose a drone. That came close to the USS Boxer, which was one of the ships that we have in the Persian Gulf right now.
So is this tit for tat? They shot down one of ours, we shoot down one of theirs, and it's a wash? Or was this really a moment where the American forces that are out in the Gulf felt like they had to do something?
I think they felt like they had to do something based on what I've seen so far. The indications are that this particular drone came very close, within 1,000 feet of the USS Boxer. There's another report that a helicopter, which would have been a manned aircraft from Iran, came over the ship by about 500 feet. So that was obviously closer. So there's, you know, certainly the possibility of signals being sent, but it's very clear they didn't want to shoot down a manned aircraft. So in that sense, the tit-for-tat part is probably correct, you know, that we decided that we would take care of something, you know, in the same way that they downed our drone, we downed theirs. So that's one way in which, you know, these kinds of things are in some ways escalating, but in other ways they're kept in bounds.
Mm-hmm. So in addition to being liars, it seems like Iran is not backing away from playing the role of antagonizer. I mean, they denied that they were attempting to take over tankers in the Gulf a couple of weeks ago. And then yesterday when we came on the air, they were saying, oh, yeah, we seized a tanker. What do you think their end game is? Are they trying to make us the bad guys? Are they trying to goad us into bombing them so they can take more extreme action? I mean, they do what they want behind the scenes anyway with surrogates. So what do you think they're trying to do right now?
I think they're trying to goad us into certain actions. They may not really want to goad us into war, although that's, you know, certainly a risk that they're taking in a case like this. But what they're really trying to do is not only get our attention, but also make things just dangerous enough that we'll feel compelled to talk to them. It's pretty clear the Iranian foreign minister is in New York at the United Nations. He has sent signals that he wants to talk to the United States. He'll probably be talking to congressional emissaries. One of them might be Senator Rand Paul. So that's a situation where the diplomatic channels are being augmented by, you know, some other channels that are out there. And the Iranians definitely want to talk. They're feeling pressure from the sanctions that have been levied against them. But they also want to make us look really bad, as much as bad as they possibly can. But they're in a very difficult position right now. So they're playing things in a way that will get them some of what they want. At least they think that's what it's going to do. But it'll also increase tension and will force, you know, some type of change in the dynamics in and around the Persian Gulf if they have their way.
Mm-hmm. All the while, they continue to step closer and closer, run closer and closer to having enriched uranium so that they have these weapons. What do we do at this point to prevent that from increasing and growing as a threat to us? Because once they cross that line, it seems to me we've got a whole nother dynamic, and you can't go back from it.
That's true. You know, if we had a series of waypoints that really would put out, these are the kinds of things that you can do and can't do at, certain points in time, it might save us from some of this trouble. One of the things that, oddly enough, is in the Iran nuclear deal is a provision that in 2023, they would actually have allowed more stringent inspections of their own, of the Iranian nuclear facilities. So that would have been one way to look at how they're actually doing their weapons production, how they're conducting themselves in the nuclear field. But there are a lot of ways in which a country like Iran can cheat, and so it would not have been a foolproof mechanism. And that's one of the difficulties that you run into, is a verification mechanism for something like that. But you really need a verification mechanism to prevent them from reaching the threshold that they would need to reach in order to enrich their uranium to the level of weaponizing it.
Yeah, and cheaters are gonna cheat. I mean, it's just one of the rules of life, whether it's one-on-one personal interaction or whether it's governments interacting. I mean, that's just the truth.
So true, as absolutely it. And whether it's government to government or personal to personal, it's it's something that people have behaved that way in the past. You can expect them to behave that way again. There's no doubt about it.
And real quick, these 500 troops that we're sending to Saudi Arabia, is that a practical thing or is that a symbolic gesture?
It has practical aspects to it. It's certainly symbolic, but what these troops seem to be doing is widening the apron, the running runway down in at Prince Sultan Air Base, which is the base that I was at actually just before we went away from there back in 2003. We used it for the first phase of the shock and awe part of the Iraq War, the last Iraq War, and that it's logical for us to have an engineering group there. It's logical for us to have intelligence and surveillance forces there. So those are the kinds of forces that could potentially be at Prince Sultan Air Base as part of those 500. Mm-hmm. And if that's the case, they definitely have a viable operational function. And it would be more than symbolic. It's always a symbol when you go out there, but there's an operational requirement for them to be there as well.
Yeah, I just feel like we're headed towards something bad. And, it's going to happen now or it's going to happen another year or 10 years. I'd rather it happen when we're in the position of strength than when they're stronger and able to annihilate some of our people. But we'll have to see how this plays out. Colonel Cedric Layton, the president of Cedric Layton Associates, really appreciate it. Thank you.
You bet, John. Anytime.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.